Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Stephanie Staples, and I work with busy professionals who want to be happier and healthier so they can bring their A game to work and life. Does that sound like you? If it does, stay tuned because we are going to bring you some ideas, some insight, and inspiration for better living. Coming up this hour, we've got a jam-packed show. We got a fit tip. We got, I got to tell you why you should never pass by the toy store and give you some lessons from a kaleidoscope. And did you know that a study revealed that 91% of people admit they lie regularly? Is that you? That only leaves a mere 9% of us left. So we're going to have talked with the author of the book called Just Be Honest. Stephen Gaffney is joining me today, and he's going to help us learn some authentic communication strategies that get results and last for a lifetime. But first, your fit tip of the week brought to you by vivacityfitness.ca. It's time to get in shape, and they can help you. vivacityfitness.ca. If you are going to lift some weights, which you should be doing, even if you're doing aerobic stuff, you should still be lifting some weights. Try connecting your body and mind. Think about which muscle you are using. Use your breath with your movement. Exhale at the hardest part of the movement. Inhale at recovery. And if possible, I know you won't like this part, but watch your movement in the mirror because it helps you ensure good form, especially for that neutral or straight alignment of your spine, shoulders down the back and core engaged. Lifting weights, it's good for you. So how do you feel about toy stores? I'm kind of stuck in that part of my timeline of life in between having little kids and acquiring grandchildren. So for me, toys are not a big part of my life. So I've instituted a new rule. I declare I will never pass by a toy store without going in. The toy store, a wonderland of fun, inspiration, and a way to transport ourselves out of our normally boring adult world. Chock full of colors and shapes and sounds that delight, the toy store can instantly transport us back to our youth or our young parenting days. On my most recent trip to the toy store, something special was screaming out, "Buy me, take me home," and I did. Guess what I bought? I bought a kaleidoscope. And it's beautiful. I love it. I love looking at it, turning it, discovering new intricate patterns in it. It's almost meditative, putting me into a zen-like state when I take a few minutes out of my busy life to peer into that little portal, and it transports me into a new world. During a recent morning view, I realized why I had to have that kaleidoscope. It had so many secrets to reveal to me and many parallels to real life. This quiet little toy spoke to me, and this is what it said. Go toward the light. The kaleidoscope doesn't do so well when it's pointed toward the dark, but face it towards light, and wow, the beauty can shine right through. Life's like that. Surround yourself with people who personify light. They help you shine too. Not to say to ignore those that are in the dark, but recognize who in your world lights you up, who makes you feel great and special. And who makes you feel dark? Establishing some clear boundaries so you can spend more time in your light will help you to live your life unlimited. Turn slowly. If you turn the kaleidoscope quickly, you miss so much of the beauty that it holds. But if you turn it slowly, you can see and appreciate so much more. Life's like that, isn't it? When we are whipping through life, we miss so much of the beauty. The crescent moon, the fabulous scent of an orange, the luxurious feel of lotion on our skin, the gentle smile on a contented face. Turn your kaleidoscope slowly and take some time to move purposefully and slowly through the parts of your day and pay attention to the little things that make your world special. The beauty is in the many. The kaleidoscope is made up of many individual parts, but the magic happens when all the single parts collaborate to create something better together than they were individually. Life's like that. We're all special, unique individuals, but when we pair and partner with others, when we share our gifts, we can really shine. When we count on others on the team to bring their gifts to the table, we can really create a wow experience together. The beauty is in the difference. The kaleidoscope is made up of many different colors and different shapes. If the inner workings were all the same, it would be a pretty boring toy. Life's like that. Even though we sometimes want other people to think like us and act like us, imagine how boring life would be if we were all the same. Appreciating the differences that each individual brings to the table allows us to create an even richer life experience. The beauty is in the movement. Peering into a kaleidoscope is pretty, but it's not until you start turning its wheel that you get the true experience that the toy can provide. Life's like that. You can sit on the sidelines of life. You can be a spectator. You can watch other people living and trying and failing and succeeding and playing and having fun. You might be safe and content, but you're not living the breadth of your life until you get up and move, failing forward, experiencing new things that challenge you to live bigger, better, and more joyfully. That's what Living Your Life Unlimited is all about. The beauty is in the reflections. The kaleidoscope reflects back what it sees. Life is like that. Life is a mirror. You put out negative, that's what you're going to see. You put out positive, and it will be reflected back to you tenfold. And so I thank my beautiful kaleidoscope for reminding me of all these important life lessons. The beauty is indeed in the reflection, the movement, the difference, the many, the slowing down, and the turning into the light. I wish you a fun trip to the toy store. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Hey, welcome back to the show. Big shout out to TiberRiver.ca. Check them out for all your aesthetic needs. And they've got some awesome products, all natural. As I say, even their website smells good. Check them out, TiberRiver.ca. I'm excited today because joining me virtually is Stephen Gaffney. He's the author of a couple interesting books, Just Be Honest, Honest Communication Strategies That Get Results and Last a Lifetime, and Honesty Works. You see, there's a theme going on here. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you kind of got to this point of authoring books of such an interesting topic.
Yeah, it's interesting about honesty, isn't it?
Well, I kind of quoted that. I don't know if you're at the top of the show, but I kind of quoted that one study that I read in your book that revealed 91% of people admit they lie regularly. So that's quite.
Yeah, I actually think the other 9% of the study lied.
Are lying about that. All right, tell
us. Because everybody lies, and we can get into that, and because the key is what are we going to do about that. But the worst lies we actually tell are the lies we tell ourselves, and those are the lies where we say, oh, that doesn't really bother me, and it does. You know, those types of things where we have to really have the conversation with that person.
Okay, so before we get into that part, I do want to know a little bit about your background and you and how you got to this point of writing about this topic.
In the early 90s, I was actually an agent for photographers, film and radio commercial directors, and someone asked me to actually give a session on communication and motivation for them. And so I did that, and I really loved doing that, and eventually I quit my agency, and I just launched into doing these sessions, and then it led to coaching and all kinds of things. But one of the big moments of how I went from the photography world into the corporate communication world was basically a designer, graphic designer, attended a session of mine, and she went home to her husband who worked for IBM. She said, you should bring in this guy, and that's how it all started. Because as you know, in our field, if you can stand up in front of people and you can give them tangible tips, tools, and strategies that produce results, you'll get rehired.
Absolutely.
So that's how it got launched.
Well, it's interesting, too. I always like to hear people a little bit about their journey, because I think that inspires other people as well, right? So, you know, you went to photography, you didn't foresee that, you know, I think people think our life is all laid out for us and boom, we had this all planned to be at this point, but not necessarily so.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting? Because that's a big giant lie. When people say, oh yeah, I always knew what I wanted to do. I mean, there are some people that are like that, but for the most part, people are where they are just often by accident or just by things that happen and one event leads to another event and then suddenly we're where we're at.
I think it's about saying yes to a lot of things, even things that scare us.
Absolutely. Some people are professionals at saying no. No, 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 no. Reminds me of this guy in Seattle. I was doing a session. He came up to me. He said, you know, this is really interesting because you're talking about honesty. And what I realized is at home, all I do is say no, but I never actually say yes. And sometimes in my mind, I want to be encouraging and I want to say yes, but I'm afraid that my kids will get out of hand. And so he realized that he was being upfront about some things but not sharing about other things. So even when how we say no and how we say yes and how we approach things has a lot to do and source back to honesty.
Hmm. And it's interesting, too, because I think we're not good at things unless we're passionate about them. So how did you get passionate about honesty?
Well, I've always been an upfront, honest person, but I didn't know you could make a living doing that.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me that this was a tough part. But then what I noticed when I was starting doing these communication and motivation sessions, whenever I talked about honesty, people really seemed to be clued in. And then one day a friend of mine who's in the business said, you know, you should really teach this stuff. And I was like, are you sure? I mean, I love it, but I think for the most part, it's pretty natural for people. He said, no, no, no. Look at all the people that are asking you about that aspect of what you're teaching. And so I just became more and more focused. So even what I'm doing right now is somewhat by accident. It wasn't like I said, oh, I'm going to do communication and motivation, and suddenly I wound up where I am at with Teaching Honesty. It actually just evolved into it. But source back, I've always been an upfront person.
Cool. Why do you think people are so interested in this topic?
Because everybody lies. So now people might
so
be
harsh.
Saying, well, I don't lie. Well, here's the thing. Everybody often, and in fact, people
sometimes
say to me,
we lie to be nice.
Absolutely. We call it white lies. Yeah. We call it all kinds of things. But here's the biggest part of why people, the biggest and challenging part, and that is when people hear me talk about honest communication, they think I'm going to go down the path of truth and lies, but that's not really the big problem. The big problem is not what people say. It's actually what they don't say to each other. It's what they leave out. That's when we think, wow, I wish I would have known they were upset with me instead of them telling other people first. I wish they would have let me know that I wasn't helping them out in the way they wanted to be helped out. I wish they let me know that they were unhappy in a relationship. So, for example, I had this gentleman come up to me in a session. He said, you know, I wish I had this before. I said, why? He said, my wife of, 25 years has informed me she wants a divorce. And the worst part about this, beside the divorce, impending divorce, is he never knew his wife was unhappy.
Ouch.
Sad. Yeah. You know, the key is, though, we've got to get that unsaid said.
So it's interesting what you, I'm just going to play off what you just said. So we're trying to maybe protect the other person by not telling them, but in the long run, in the bigger run, it's hurting them.
Yeah, and here's the thing. People often say, well, I just don't want to do that because, it's something I did wrong or I'm upset with, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know what? Most people, when I ask them, would you rather be told the truth or not, they always say, I want to be told the truth. So often when
But maybe they're
say,
lying.
Well, I didn't say it. Pardon?
I said maybe they're lying when they say they want to be told the truth. That worries me. Do they want
to
be told the truth?
About it, though, you can't fix a problem you don't know about, and you can't move on an idea that nobody shares. So the way, and obviously with your expertise in dealing with stress and balance and all those aspects, it often gets sourced back to communication. We have to have an open relationship. I mean, you just don't have people who say, yeah, I'm having a great time in my life, and I'm completely closed down. Mm-hmm. It's usually they're sharing, and they're having people share back with them. But there is a difference between brutality and honesty.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. How to ease it in gently.
Well, I think the thing is, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, why are we bringing this up? And then look at if we say, well, I don't want to hurt the person's feelings. Often it's because we're uncomfortable with bringing it up. But then once we get past that, we need to say, okay, so what am I trying to accomplish here? Where am I going with that? So am I just bringing it up to just because I'm mad and I'm just going to get it off my chest? Well, that's a start, but that doesn't really help it unless we're really focused on where we're moving forward. So an easy example of this is where somebody will say to me, well, I am honest. I told them that they're a jerk. Well, that's name-calling. That's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about what's really true for us and sharing kind of some of the vulnerability. And key is what we want moving forward. So an example would be instead of saying somebody's a jerk, which really doesn't help at all, what we want to do is we want to say, excuse me, something's in my throat. Hold on.
That's okay. You know, we're going to hold on to this. We'll talk about that part after the break. We'll let you clear your throat, have a drink of water. What I hear behind that is the intention. So the intention of what you have to be saying is pure and noble, and then we can ease into the truth-telling. So we'll be back in a moment. In the meanwhile, check out, if you haven't been to Mo Mondays yet, check out the website, yourlifeunlimited.ca. Go to the events page. The next one in Winnipeg is tomorrow's all sold out, so you're too late for that one. But March 24th in Winnipeg and in your city, check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. Go to the events page and find out where there is one near you. It's an awesome, inspiring event. Hope to see you there. Best $10 you could spend on a Monday night. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with the Your Life Unlimited quick tip of the week. Here's some words to lose and words to choose to challenge you this week. Lose words like just, but, always, never, not, try, stuck, all, every. Words that imply absolutes are rarely accurate, usually cause problems, and words that belittle things are rarely flattering. Pay attention to the words you are saying that are not framed positively. Instead of saying, I'm going to try not to eat junk food, you could say, I am making healthy food choices. Can you hear the difference? Can you feel the difference? Pay attention to how you frame your sentences. Choose words that make you feel good. Beautiful words, like beautiful, or magnificent, or fulfilling, enriched, tender, lighthearted, absolutely, delicious. When someone asks you how you are, you can say not bad, or you can say terrific. Which response makes you and them feel better? Big shout out to CalabriaMarket.biz, Southern Italian cuisine at its best. I am Italian, so I don't go out for Italian much, but when I go, that's where. So check them out, CalabriaMarket.biz. I am interviewing Stephen Gaffney. He is passionate about spreading the word about honesty. Just Be Honest is one of his books, Honesty Works. A prolific writer, a speaker, coach, consultant. Stephen, we are talking about honesty, and I don't know, do a lot of people want to hear about this topic, or do they run the other way? It's like, no, I don't need to hear about that, but you should talk to my friend.
I know. People often seem to be afraid of the topic, but the reality is that most people have been burned in their life by people who have not shared the truth. And again, it isn't really somebody who did an outright lie, although that does happen. The big problem, though, is that people don't share what's really going on for them, and we can't fix a problem we don't know about, and we can't move on an idea that nobody tells us about. So the key is to get that unsaid said, as we were talking about earlier.
You know, I think a lot of us think, especially those of us who've been married for quite some time, you know, the other person should know, right? If they knew me, if they loved me, they would know this. Why do I have to tell them?
How's because that working for most people?
Yeah, not too good. That is a gift we can give.
Look at Valentine's Day, right? Valentine's Day, you know, how people, for a lot of people, was upset day.
Right.
Because they had expectations and the person should know. And, you know, it's sad. But the key thing is, you know, you just got to say what you want. You know, sometimes somebody will say to me, you know, if I have to tell my spouse to bring me a card or flowers or whatever the case may be, it loses the point. But here's my point back. How's it going if just being upset and hoping the person gets what we really want?
Yes.
You know, hope is not a strategy. The key is, what are we going to do about this?
That's good. Hope is not a strategy. It's important, but it's not a strategy. The best Christmas ever for me was the one I told my husband exactly what I wanted. And it was such a great Christmas for me because I got what I wanted. He was so happy because he knew he hit it, you know, and it was like, oh, is that all I have to do is actually just tell him? That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting topic because it also happens in a major way at work, where people work really hard to please their boss. They turn in something and their boss says, well, that's not what I wanted. And that actually has people disengaged, be unmotivated and unproductive. If people are much more clear with what they want, others could deliver what really needs to get done.
Okay.
So clarity of communication is key. You know, one of the interesting aspects, even on clarity, somebody will say, I was perfectly clear. I said this 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the person who defines clarity isn't the sender, it's the receiver.
Ooh. The person who defines clarity isn't the sender, it's the receiver. So it might have been clear to you as you were saying it, but somebody else could have heard something totally different.
Absolutely. And people will read into all kinds of things. I mean, just look at how often somebody will say, well, look, did you see their facial expression? Did you see this? You know what? I think they mean this. And I think this is the case. People just make up stuff. In the absence of data, just people just make it up. Here's an interesting example. So you write an email to somebody. They don't respond back. Well, they don't respect us. They don't like us. Or they're too busy or whatever. Their email was not meaningful. Who knows? And the answer is, who knows? Mm-hmm. We just made it all up. And it's interesting how people, in the absence of data, they make up negative stuff, not positive stuff.
That is so true.
Isn't it?
Yes, that's so true. In the absence of data, of facts, we make up negative stuff.
And it's sad. And the good news about this is that if we're aware of it, we can do something about it.
You know what? It strikes me funny. I mean, it's similar to everything we do, right? Oftentimes, the first thing out of our mouth is something negative. And it's just, is it just habit? Is it just, it's conditioning? Is it fight or flight? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it goes back to, but I think that's powerful what you said. In the absence of data, we make up negative stuff. And if we could catch ourselves, if we could be aware of that, and we could flip that around. I always assume people aren't ignoring me. They might be, but I just assume it got lost in the mail or something like that.
Yeah, well, here's a thing that dramatically improves our life, assuming good intent. Assuming good intent. So in the absence of data, why don't we assume good intent? Exactly what you're saying, which is probably why you're as good as what you do. You know, because what you do is in the absence of data, you make up the positive. Well, here's the thing. If we make up a positive, when we assume good intent, then when we approach the person, it's going to be much more encouraging to have an open dialogue. I mean, have you ever had somebody approach you and they assume ill intent and approach you like a prosecuting attorney? No offense to any prosecuting attorneys out there.
Oh, sure, but you did. I think you're lying. I'm going to call you on that.
Where would we be without lawyers? Anyway, that could be a whole
other
show.
That's another show, yeah.
But the key is when somebody's assuming good intent, it opens up a conversation. So if we approach them, hey, I sent you that email. I don't know what happened. Are you okay? Let's talk about it, or I wanted to talk to you about, you know, where that project is. In other words, the point is take action, but what people do is they assume ill intent, and then when they decide to approach that person, they approach that person with such a bad attitude, the other person doesn't even want to have that conversation.
Right. So, and probably all your nonverbals are showing that as well, right? Your facial expression, your body language, the tone of your voice.
Absolutely. And tone is five times the impact of the words we say. So often somebody will say to me, you know, I was perfectly honest. And I'll say, well, look, it's not the words you're saying. It's how you're saying it. You know, I had a person approach me in the session. She said, are you going to talk about how to change your tone? And I said, what's going on? She said, people say that I sound like I'm mad. And I said, well, are you mad? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm furious. She sounded mad because she really was mad. But the best example was this one. I had a manager approach me. She said, I just can't seem to connect with my staff. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, we're not on the same page. And I said, well, what do you think of your staff? She goes, I think they're stupid. Well, no wonder she couldn't connect with people. I mean, look at her attitude.
Oh, that's funny. And also I find when people like their face, like, oh, you look mad. Oh, I'm not mad. Well, then tell your face.
Yeah, you want to say, can you inform your face? I had a friend of mine who kept saying to me, I'm happy, but his face was not showing. I was like, it was exactly what he said. I said, well, you may want to inform your face.
Exactly. Oh, dear. And if we're not sure,
people don't realize how they're coming across to other people. And in fact, the reality is a lot of times when somebody hasn't informed their face, it's because they really aren't being truthful. A lot of those nonverbals are important to pick up. We don't want to make a decision based solely on that, but it is something to pay attention to.
Right. That makes good sense. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, actually, quickly before we go, Stephen, you got a giveaway for our listeners.
Absolutely. So if they mention your show and they email us, and they mention your show, we'll send them the 21 rules for delivering difficult messages. I found over 20, you know, in 20 years in the business, there's 21 rules for delivering difficult messages. Once you master those, you can share anything to anybody.
Cool. And it's free. FREE. We love free. So check out Stephen's website, honestcommunication.com. He's also going to be doing a guest blog post for us on yourlifeunlimited.ca. And hey, who doesn't want to know things to make life a little bit better? Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. I can't hear myself, but I'm hoping that we're on the air. Oh, we are on the air. Excellent. See, it's live and things happen sometimes when things are live. But if you like what you're hearing, except for that last 30 seconds, then check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. Lots of videos, articles. And if you're interested in moving your life to the next level, I would love to do some coaching with you. And if you want to bring some insight, inspiration, and ideas, a little bit of motivation into your workplace, I love to come and talk to your group. So check it out, yourlifeunlimited.ca. And we're talking with Stephen Gaffney. You can visit his website, honestcommunication.com. And if you mention this show, he will send you his newest book, 21 Rules to Share Difficult Messages. And Stephen, well, I want you to talk about four keys to creating open, honest communication at home and at work. Who couldn't use that information? Let's have it.
Well, the key is, yeah, to create that culture of honesty. So the first thing is to be aware. We have to be aware that this is actually even the issue. And that's what's interesting about that is often people don't realize that's the problem. Again, it's not what people say, it's what they're not saying. So first is awareness. Second is we have to model behaviors that actually invite honesty, right? We talked about assuming good intent, but here's the number one thing we need to do. The most important thing is make people feel safe. Make people feel safe. You know, it takes much more psychological energy to keep something inside than to let it out. And so people want to tell us the truth as long as we make them feel safe. But you know, one of the ways we don't is we get defensive. You know, have you ever had somebody, Stephanie, who says to you, oh, you can tell me anything. Look, I want to hear your honest feedback. So you give them some honest feedback. Mm-hmm. And then they flip out. They get defensive. They get upset. And then after a while of that, you just say, forget it. I'm not going there anymore. So that the second key is really modeling the behavior. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so if we've been burnt before, we're less likely to be honest the next time.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of behaviors we need to do, but the most important thing is to create a culture of safety. Third is we've got to reward honesty, right? Somebody tells us the honest and truth, we can actually thank them. But then here's the most important thing about how to reward honesty. Show them that you're going to use their feedback. You know, if we say, oh, thank you for sharing, mm-hmm. thank you, but we don't do anything with it, after a while, somebody says, forget it, it's not worth it. And the fourth area, which is probably the hardest one of all, is we have to challenge people when they don't tell us the truth. We have to draw a line in the sand that it's not okay when somebody doesn't say what's going on. Because we can't fix a problem we don't know about. We can't move on an idea we don't hear about. The key is we really have to challenge them. So here's an easy way to do this. Is if you find out somebody didn't tell you something, you can go up to them and say, what is it about me that had you not feel comfortable to tell me? Instead of saying, you know, why didn't you tell me, or you're always keeping things from me, is there something about me that has you not feel comfortable to just tell me? Because often that's what's really going on. We're not creating that environment of safety. So we have to challenge people, but challenge people in a way that invites them to tell us the truth.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And what that does is that takes the pressure off the other person, right? Because you're almost kind of putting it on yourself.
Yes. Yes. Because here's the thing. If we assume responsibility, then it invites the other person to look at their responsibility, or at least more likely for them to share what's going on. You know, it's interesting how when I get dropped into these major Fortune 500 companies and federal government agencies, that often there's a culture of blame. And when I look at what's sourcing the blame, it's often key leaders who have created an environment where mistakes are not okay, where they come down hard on people, or here's the thing, or they're not necessarily sharing the difficult messages. That's where they say, look, we just have this layoff, and then we're going to be fine. But the truth is there are other challenges coming down the pike. So we have to model certain behavior. What's interesting about it's often sourced back at the top. We have to demonstrate that it's okay to tell the truth, but then we also have to be good examples of that.
You know, I was enjoying your book over the last week or so, and the one part I kind of highlighted, I put a smiley face beside it. It's the part that says, I have tried everything. So I guess whatever situation you're in, but specifically you're talking about difficult communication. It says, do you think that you have already tried everything? Consider this. There are currently over 6 billion people in the world. Add to that the billions of people who have lived before us. With all those individuals going through their lives of their own, what are the chances that someone has experienced exactly what we are experiencing and has overcome that obstacle? If we think there is no answer, then we will probably never see an answer. I like that part.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and when I'm teaching that in companies, I'm trying to get people to realize, listen, there are always solutions. There are always options. But if you believe you've tried everything, you'll never see those options. You know, belief drives actions. Actions don't drive beliefs. People say, I'll believe it when I see it. The problem is they don't see it because they don't believe it. So we have to believe that there are solutions out there. And then what we'll do is we'll be persistent to find those solutions and we'll correct the problem.
I think there is always one more right answer. There is always one thing we haven't tried. There is always one more person to ask. We just have to be open and willing to go there and look for it.
Absolutely. We have to give people a break when they're not being upfront with us. And again, it's looking at ourselves. What could we do? But here's the thing that really creates problems is we let our silence do the talking. We say, well, I hope they get the point. I hope they understand what I'm saying. No, we have to take a stand. We have to speak up. We have to say what we want. You know, I've found that people who really move other people are people who share things, but they also listen. But they share things, and they move forward on things, and they take action, and they're willing to hear feedback from people. You know, even listening, which we haven't really talked about, is really critical. You know, as Larry King said, he never learned anything when he was talking. The idea is we have to ask questions and find out what's going on. So it's easy to get upset at somebody. You didn't tell me what was going on for you. But a much harder question is to say, what is it about me that had you not feel comfortable to tell me the truth? Because often we're afraid to ask these questions because we're afraid they're going to tell us an answer we don't really like. But the good news about that is then we can really look at ourselves and correct the problem. Because the reality is, the more we realize that it's we're at least at cause in the matter, that's actually good news, because we can change ourselves a lot easier than it is to change other people.
Very empowering stuff. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Big thanks to First Impressions hairandskin.ca. Check them out. They always leave you feeling great. I have been having a great time with our guest, Stephen Gaffney. Check out honestcommunication.com. Stephen, if there was only one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
Give the gift of appreciation. You know, everything we just talked about was about difficult things to say to people, but we're also stingy with our appreciations. Make today a day when you share how much you appreciate people. Do not hold that back. Let people know how important they are in your life.
Love it. It'll make them feel good. It'll make you feel good. And all that's part of living Your Life Unlimited. If you like what you hear, check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. See you on Facebook, see you on LinkedIn, and see you back here next Sunday morning.